Hi, everyone. Good evening, and welcome to another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score from Halas Hall alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. Pleased to be joined by one of these explosive, versatile, playmaking players that the Bears have on the offensive side of the ball. And it's a big deal. We're joined by Zach Miller. You remember him from last year. He was all over the field when he got on the field. But it's nice to see the collection of talent on the practice field together, man, for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, it is. We've got the band back together, so it's exciting that everybody's together and ready to go.
How about you specifically for your position? Because last year, obviously, you know, the tight end room was a little bit bigger. Now you're the leader of that group. Do you feel any pressure, just not on the football front, but on the leader front?
No, I think that's something that's natural to me. Leadership has been natural throughout my career, so it's something that I don't feel added pressure. It's just you got to move and work through. We got new guys just coming in that are getting prepped for a game in 4 days, so they're trying to learn the offense and help them get ready for that.
Okay, in terms of what's expected of you on the field, I think last year you're still kind of a little bit of an unknown of your big play ability. Does that enhance your product when you go and get ready for game planning for an opponent because you're the versatility that you've shown on the field?
Yeah, I think there's just different things you can do. Helps us offensively, being able to move around and do different things and get coverage reads and pre-snap stuff to help us move down the football field. So hopefully I'm used as a weapon early and often throughout the year.
Visiting with Bears tight end Zach Miller here on Bears All Access. So the language of the offense is the same. But, man, a lot's different from what Bears fans saw a year ago.
Yeah. Terminology is similar, but we have a different coach. Dowell brings his different football knowledge to the game, and the things that he wants to do are a little bit different. So you'll see a different product on the football field, hopefully a lot more explosive and productive than what we were, but we're excited to get started.
Can you see the vision of what this is going to be like?
Yeah. I see it because we get to work every day and see what it is. Like you said earlier, we weren't at full strength. I know what the offense is capable of doing. Now we still have to go do that. You can't just talk about it. You got to go be about it. So it's one of those things that we'll see Sunday when we step on the football field.
Well, you guys have the opportunity to dictate defenses really to the opponent, because when you look at the weapons that you can put on the field, and just height-wise, you go 6'5", Alshon, you 6'5", Kevin White, 6'4", you know, Eddie Royal or the slot receiver, whomever is playing that position, just the height alone has got to be kind of confusing, not confusing to an opponent, but you don't have defensive backs or coverage linebackers that are 6'5 across the board.
You look across the board, you got matchup problems, and that's an advantage to us. You can move guys around. And another thing of being able to put people in other positions is just you get to create mayhem. They have to figure out how they're going to coverage those. They have to bring linebackers out of the box. We get coverage indication immediately off of that. So it's just it's another advantage having those weapons throughout the offense.
You know, it's interesting. When you guys were going through your one-on-ones and stuff against New England Patriots, Alshon looked like a really big target, and Jay was using him, and their defensive backs were in a position where even if they had close coverages, he was going over the top of them, he was going through them, and it's got to be nice for Jay to sit out there, and when you get the protection that you got big targets downfield.
Absolutely. I think he's comfortable knowing that, you know, if something happens, he's comfortable going to Al. He's comfortable going to guys where he knows that they're going to be in the right spot. Speaking specifically of Alshon, he's one of those guys that I've never seen anybody better at going and getting those 50-50 jump balls. I mean, he has a knack and an ability to go do it.
You can tell it's week one. The regular season is here. It counts because Tom is all X's and O's right out of the gate. I mean, he is so fired up. He's got the big board. You obviously are talking like a player who's zoned in on what he needs to do come Sunday. But what's realistic? And I bring that up because you guys have not had a lot of practice time together. I'm talking about the first team offense now. So what's realistic out of the gate to expect offensively?
I think for us, realistically, what our goal is to go out, manage the, you know, it's going to be loud, so we got to be able to operate in the environment. Don't beat ourselves. And realistically, if we take care of business up front, I feel like we can be an explosive offense and win these football games. I mean, we're not a team where it's coming out and, okay, yeah, we haven't played well together early on. We're not even thinking about that. It's here now, and as we move forward, just producing and winning football games.
You know, that's the neat thing about the first Wednesday of the regular season. It's unlike any other day throughout the regular season, but it is about what you guys do. You evaluate your opponent and you see what they present to you and all the other teams they face throughout the preseason. But from this moment on, I think there's less information that you have to digest because you're not installing the entire offense throughout training camp. Now it's exactly what the Bears are capable, what they can do with their weapons.
Yeah. It's something that everything's dialed down. So we got a specific game plan and you're not digesting the whole playbook. It's what we're going to do. It's what we do. We know what we can do. And then you got just a couple unscouted looks that you got to be able to adjust to and play ball. So we'll be prepared. It started early today, and it's going to carry on throughout the week.
You talked about it earlier. Tom always mentions it on game day, the pre-snap penalties. You cut those down, the mental mistakes, the stuff that you can control. You give yourself an opportunity. But it's a lot easier to say it than to do it, especially when you hit the road. What's the key to making sure that all the guys are functioning correctly and you don't have those mistakes?
It's just focus. And there's a lot of noise and different things that you got to be, you know, dialed in for. But it's a matter of focus. And really, when you have those things, you set yourself back. You go, you know, if you go from a 2nd and 4 to a false start, and now you're at 2nd and 9, and you're trying to work your way back into 3rd and manageable. So that's just how the game goes, and you can't beat yourself like
something that.
That
anyone who went to practices in Bourbonnais and has watched the Bears throughout the preseason, man, Dowell Loggins does not take that stuff lying down. He gets mad when you guys do that kind of stuff.
Rightfully so. We all get mad. Nobody wants to have pre-snap penalties. Those are the things that, you know, we can control. They're kind of dumb penalties, is what Coach Fox would say. And he gets a little fired up about it, but we all do. We just can't beat ourselves.
You know, I think it's important because I like the way Dahl has taken over, going back in OTAs, because he didn't have the patience for mental mistakes. Whether they started after you broke the huddle or what Jay was going through the cadence trying to get everybody in the right position, but I think that's the pressure that football players need, because that's also a test of the coaches going, okay, who is up to the task? Who is ingesting this stuff mentally to know what they do on the field? And then who can still hold up if they're getting criticized in front of their peers? So I do think that's one of the important things that Dahl showed me when he took over the offense here.
Absolutely. You got to be tested at some point. You know, you go through practice, it's got to be – you got to find a way to replicate – what Sunday might be like. So you got to add a little bit of pressure. You got to create a little bit of noise, have some coaches yell at you. So if you can operate under this, hopefully we can carry it over Sunday.
Well, they helped you out with the 90 degrees here today,
today
replicating the heat from Houston.
It was hot.
Good news is there's a big roof over your head in Houston. I think it's the only dome in the NFL that has air conditioning.
Really?
I don't know what it means, but... You know,
72 and perfect.
Hey, yeah,
just as long as there's 120-yard football field, cool.
That'll be there, and the crowd's going to be loud every time you guys have the ball. Let's take a break. When we come back, there's so much to talk about with Zach Miller, because last year at this time, you were a mystery.
Yeah.
Now fans know you, but the rest of the NFL knows you. So what does that mean when you take the field this season? Zach Miller, the Bears tight end, our guest here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears with Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden, airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox 32 Chicago. Go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears or watch segments on the Chicago Bears official mobile app. So many different ways to catch the good stuff. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, here from Hallis Hall, 85 Bear. Tom Thayer's along. I'm Zach Zabin, Bears tight end. Zach Miller with us here for the entire hour, which is a treat as the Bears get ready for the regular season opener Sunday in Houston to kick things off. And, you know, it wasn't until the San Diego game last year, Zach, where I think people realized, whoa, look at this guy, because he makes this acrobatic game-winning one-handed catch. And I think you just took off from that point. Mentally, what did that do, that big catch?
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say it gave me a sense of confidence, because I always felt confident in my abilities. It just it was an opportunity for me to make a play and show that I could be that type of playmaker, show that I had the ability to do those sorts of things.
Did it change the coaching staff's perspective of you?
I think so, a little bit. And then followed up, you know, the next week with the St. Louis game. So I think, you know, those 2 weeks in succession kind of said, okay, we got maybe a little bit of a playmaker. We can use him a little more than we have, you know, early on in the season.
But the key ingredient here is it gives Jay a great deal of confidence, because we talked in the past that I've never seen Jay more excited for a catch than the big touchdown catch you made. But then, you know, it allows him to believe that, hey, I have weapons beyond the ones that were identified mm-hmm. before Zach Miller came aboard.
Yeah. And Jay and I are always on the same page. It's a thing where, you know, my quarterback history has helped me transition into this position now. So just being in the right spot at the right time for him is something that's kind of a comfort.
You know, I keep thinking about this. When you were in college, if Zach Miller had a Zach Miller as the tight end, man, you'd be quitting quarterback in the NFL, because you have a guy who understands exactly how the quarterback, and that's rare in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that I think it's an advantage for us. You got guys who, and it's not just me, it's everybody else across the board who does their job. And, you know, for me, it was just to make that transition. It helped me because I understood timing and the things that he was kind of looking at.
But, you know, quarterback position, you get no reps at blocking. You get no reps in a three-point stance. You really don't know about hand placement and head placement. You're protected all the time. What in your past history of playing quarterback has helped you the most in what you do downfield?
I think just digesting the offense, all the stuff, the physical part was completely new. The transition where it helped was seeing coverages, being able to adjust on the move. Timing-wise, I got an internal clock that has been built my entire life as a quarterback. So I, for some reason, have an internal clock that I know you know, when something needs to be done and when it's going to happen.
The first time that you went to the second level, or you had a big block in the line of scrimmage and you had a collision, and did it say, okay, I can do this even though I'm not in the red jersey anymore?
Yeah, there's a couple instances where those are gratifying plays.
Right,
I never had.
Right.
They are. It's a gratifying feeling when you make a good block and you feel like you're part of a play when you really don't have the football in your hands. And I didn't get to feel that, you know, for the majority of my football career. So it's something that I enjoyed.
You know, it's funny. People always look at the negative play that might occur when you get hit, but you forget that if you deliver the hit, man, yeah, that's a powerful feeling when you're playing football. Can you relate to what Greg Scruggs is going through? Because here's a guy like you who is having to learn the tight end position. He's never really done it at this level, and he's learning on the fly in the NFL to do it.
Similar situation, because I think where he gets help from his position change is that he was battling against tight ends the majority of the time that he was on defense. Now, mentally, he's got to grasp an entire new game because he's so aggressive on defense all the time, and that can kind of get you in trouble being over-aggressive on offense. So he's learning that. He's done a great job thus far as making that transition, and he's only going to continue to get better.
From your growth experiences, what you went through in your player transition, the Scruggs, does he need to catch a ball in traffic and then get tackled after it? What do you think is the one obstacle he has to overcome?
I think so. Him just being comfortable in the pass game. And he made a couple plays last week in practice that I think helped his confidence, you know, on a deep corner route where he went up and caught a ball. And that's just repetition, being, you know, you don't play with the football in your hand a ton. So for him, it's just having he needs to see the ball flying through the air, see the flight path and all that stuff. So he'll continue to improve.
Do you wonder how teams are now going to go up and try to defend you? Because last year, no team was going into the season worried about what Zach Miller was going to do. And then they kind of had to learn on the fly. And, you know, the league's kind of slow to catch up.
Yep.
But they had an entire offseason, and they know you're the man heading into this season.
I'm sure that they'll have, you know, their certain plans. But here's the thing. We got a lot of guys that are going to garnish some attention. So we'll see how they line up on Sunday. It's one of those things where you're always kind of on the fly to see how you adjust to things.
But, you know, still, it's weird to think of about all the receivers the Bears have. The best thing the Bears can do is run the ball to get you guys all open downfield. And so, you know, the best thing that you can do early is be a good blocker.
Yep.
Because now all of a sudden people are going to manipulate defenses differently to keep you contained on the line of scrimmage. And, bam, that's going to open your opportunity.
Absolutely. It starts up front. That's kind of what our identity wants to be. We want to run the football. We got to be able to run the football to, like you said, control that passing game. That's going to open things up for us. So if we do that well and we do it early and often, we'll be able to open up the entire offense.
It's about freezing the defense for that split second. Play action becomes more. It's all about up front. The guys that play the position that Tom used to play on the offensive line, creating opportunities for three really different running backs. And I'm not even including the fullback, Paul Lasique, who has been a guy that can show you. I mean, you saw it in the preseason finale. Yeah. You put the ball in his hands, he can run it.
He certainly can. That's a tough old rugby player, so he's good. He's good at lowering the shoulder.
But, you know, it's kind of nice, though. Hopefully you don't have to line up in that fullback position anymore. Let Paul have those collisions, because he's basically an offensive guard that every once in a while gets a carry. And I think he does a lot to help the running back position to understand the blocking scheme, identify the point of attack, and get that running back to the second level. Because there was a run in the New England game that Jeremy Langford, he never got touched until the backside slot corner was able to come down. It was a 34-yard run. Yeah. So you get that relationship going, boy. It does a lot for you, does a lot for the running back position, and Jay and the wide receivers.
It certainly does, and Paul's done a great job, making that change and being a complete fullback. I mean, that's a bruising position, and he does it very well. So it'll allow us to, A, run the football, and then, B, have a play-action game off of that.
Let's take another timeout. When we come back, why were you guys fighting all throughout the preseason? And does that mean that you're really a team heading into the games that count? We'll discuss next with Bears tight end Zach Miller here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tune into the Bears Coaches Show with Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. on WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. This is also one of those shows, Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're at Hallis Hall, 85 Bear. Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Sabin. Bears tight end Zach Miller is with us. And you guys were laughing at this when I mentioned it at the end of last segment, but you know, you guys did fight an awful lot. Now, you unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, you were on the sideline watching it. But why were there so many fights during the preseason? And are you guys together now as a team?
Oh, yeah, absolutely are together. Now, it's a family of 90 brothers. Brothers are going to fight. I mean, if I didn't grow up with a brother, so I fought with my sisters.
Right?
I mean, no, it's competition. you're in training camp. You're in the out in the heat. Doing this on a continuous basis, and there's just some things pop up. It may have got just a little more than we wanted to, boiling over the family fest. That was kind of some things that we probably didn't want to happen, but that's football. You got a lot of alpha males on one football field and going at each other for a long time, but this is probably one of the closest teams that I've been a part of throughout my entire career.
But at the beginning of training camp, you put 90 guys in the field. Of those 90 guys, how many of them were guaranteed a job? Yeah, five,
yeah.
Six maybe. And then you got free agents like Ted Larson and Akeem Hicks. And then you got Danny Trevathan and Jarrell Freeman. And then you have just all the other bodies that are in there fighting for opportunities. And that's literally what it becomes, because I think – people that go to a normal job, football is not a normal job, but the competitiveness that the coaches challenge you with an everyday challenge, that sometimes it just spills over, that, that BB and the whistle hasn't stopped jumping around yet, and you got two guys that are going at it. And it only takes a little bit of a push, a little bit of a shove, and it just turns it up. But I do think that's one of the things that creates camaraderie, because there's never been a fight that's gone into the locker room after practice.
Nope.
And it's something that's done on the football field. It lasts 7, 10, 15 seconds, and then it's over.
Yeah, and I think that's just – it's understood. It's kind of how the game goes. But it is competition.
Right.
Guys are fighting for jobs. Jobs are on the line. You got to be able to produce for your family. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it, but it never boils over in the locker room, and you understand that everything stays in between the lines.
And you don't want to see a passive free agent.
No.
That's the one thing about it, because Ted Larson's been with a couple teams, and he's here fighting for his life. Akeem Hicks has been brought here to be a leader on the defensive line. And I'm not just pointing out those two guys, but they did have some scuffles, and they were involved in multiple scuffles. But, again, you talk about guys that are fighting for their football life every single snap.
Man, absolutely. I watched Eddie Goldman rip off Cody Whitehair's helmet. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that was taking place. But you hit on something, and we're visiting with Bears tight end Zach Miller here on Bears All Access. you said it's as close of a team as you've been on. Why?
We just came together. It started in OTAs. OTAs is one of the funnest sessions of OTAs that I've had in 8 years. It's just a good, friendly, like, it's the competition is fun. You know, there's a lot of trash talk and there's a lot of, but it's in good fun. And everybody's trying to make each other better. And then, you know, for some reason, you click. Now, and we've been able to do that.
Do you go on those trips to Nashville when Jay Cutler has everybody coming together? And what's that like?
It's just a good bonding experience for us to, you know, work and do some things, but then you get away from each other, or, you know, you get away from the game, and then you get to hang out and be around each other for, you know, 3, 4, 5 days and kind of just hang out and really just build your bond.
You know, are you a football fan? Because for me, if football's on TV, I'm going to watch it. I don't care if it's Division Zero to Division One or whatever. And tomorrow night, the NFL starts on TV. Is it something that you try to catch a glimpse of, or are you interested in watching the start of the NFL season?
I'll definitely sit down and watch. Any opportunity. I've played football my entire life, and football has been a part of my life forever. So I'm definitely a football fan, and any chance I get, I'm watching.
Hey, Jameis Winston, I saw him the other day.
Firing people catch. Up. Yeah,
you got to love that as a football player.
Absolutely.
I mean, you got to go into – well, your team never trails at halftime, so you don't have to worry about getting in there. But, I mean, to see a
Nebraska, Omaha?
I don't even have a team anymore. I've adopted the Huskers, so I'm back on there.
Yeah, they did a really nice thing last weekend, the head coach, to honor the punter who died during the offseason. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, and Zach Miller, our guest here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. All right, so now you head into this game, and all of you guys are playing together for the first time, but you're taking on one of the top defenses in football. When you look at what they were able to accomplish, what are the things, especially from your position, that you're looking at, that if I do this correctly, our offense has an opportunity to succeed?
I mean, it's a good challenge for us. We know that they're a great defense, a playoff team from a year ago. And there's multiple things that you understand if you do well. 11 guys have to do it all well. But there's things, if you do your job well, you feel good. But what we want to do is stack positive plays early, get out to a fast start, and then be able to continue that. You don't ever want to, you know, hopefully, God willing, we do get up early and we start playing very well. You don't want to let off the gas. So there's just certain things that we got to learn how to come out early and finish.
You know, I think about that a lot, referring to last year. Is you guys went to Green Bay and you beat Green Bay convincingly. They have a good team. It's probably one of the most hostile environments to go in and play. But that's what I want to see you guys capitalize on. If you do it 1 week, be able to do it the week before and the week after. So when you talk about the growth and the potential of this football team, this is not only an offense, this is a special teams and defense included. If you guys can get to that hurdle, that is where you're going to become the team that people, that you guys can just be concerned with yourself week in and week out.
Yeah, and that's consistency. It's something that you just got to be able to do on a weekly basis. You know, we don't ever like to talk about the past, but there was instances where we were beating ourselves. And we weren't being consistent week in and week out. And when we were consistent and played well, you know, we were all in all the games. They're very close, and it's just a number of plays each game that could go a different way and hopefully have a different outcome.
You guys added a number of new players to the mix just this week, but one in particular is the new left guard, Josh Sitton, who comes in from Green Bay, and he's an example of the type of player that Ryan Pace and John Fox have clearly identified as a culture changer, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't say much, but when you watch him out on the practice field, you notice him.
He's your prototypical left guard, aggressive, good. You know, I mean, you look at the guy and you know that he's gonna go and be very aggressive every single play.
Can I say this? And Tom and Zach, you guys are at the zenith of physical fitness. When I look at Kyle Long, who plays the same position as Josh Sitton, they're both guards. You cannot get two body types that look completely different than Sitton, who looks like, you know, you can have a beer with him at the barbecue, and, you know, Long, Kyle is just, you know, there's no one that's built like Kyle. How do these guys, how can you have two people that look so different play the same position so well?
I don't know, but they both do it. Hey, they both do it. You know, Kyle's obviously very physically gifted. Josh is the same way. I mean, three-time Pro Bowler. A guy who stepped in a matter of days and already has been a leader. He's making calls on the line. He's stepped in and really had no learning curve of our offense or whatever he needs to do. I mean, he'll be ready to play on Sunday.
Hey, I'm a right guard.
It's amazing, this game of football. We always joke with Anthony Adams, our good friend, mm-hmm. that, you know, he played a position but didn't look like he belonged in the NFL, yet he played it for a very long time. It's amazing, this game. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, can you put into words the new culture here at Halas Hall? Zach Miller's our guest. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Join Bears players and alumni and bowl for charity at the Bears Bowl on September 13th at Pinstripes in Northbrook. Proceeds benefit Bears Care. Ticket and lane sponsor information can be found at chicagobears.com/Bears Bowl. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Zach Miller, the Bears tight end, our guest here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. We're broadcasting from Halas Hall here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So there is definitely a culture change that is noticeable in this building, Zach. Can you put it into words?
It's easier to see, more difficult to talk about. I think what Coach Fox wants out of his football players is smart, tough, physical guys who really love to play football. You know, we get an opportunity to come here and play a game that we've done for our entire life and just understand how important this is and how special this is to a lot of people. So they've done a great job building that roster, and you know, here we are on the week of week one, and we're ready to go.
Is it difficult to put together a team that has no agendas?
Yeah, I mean, it's a challenge. It's not easy. And that's the one thing, as you come together, you understand that to be a complete football team, you have to be selfless. You got to be able to do things for other people. I got to be right for the guys next to me, and that's kind of really how a great football team comes together and starts to win football games.
You know what's good for you guys is there's not going to be a scenario in the NFL that presents itself that John Fox hasn't already experienced. So when he gets you guys together in a team meeting or after practice on the field, he's speaking from experience. He's not trying to think of the words to say because he's seeing something for the first time. Yeah. And I think that's a great thing for you guys, you know, and no matter what side of the ball you're on or where you sit in the locker room, it's the experiences that John can tell you guys, I think, is beneficial for you.
It's very beneficial. Just knowing that he's been there and that he has a blueprint that's been very successful. You've seen it. You understand his history, and you know that he's been successful in this league. So it's a benefit knowing that he knows how to do it and the correct way to do it.
You know, in the past, there were loud voices, not necessarily leaders. Inside the locker room, who are the leaders now?
You got a bunch of different leaders now. Jay has stepped up in his leadership role since the day I've got here. He's a complete different person and leader, in my opinion. Young guys stepping in. Charles Leno is starting to lead that O-line. Kyle Long. The list goes on and on. Pernell McPhee is a guy who really hasn't been able to lead us physically, but he's still been a vocal leader on our football team and on that defense. Tracy Porter, Jarrell Freeman. I mean, I could throw out names all day long, but there's a lot of guys who just lead in different ways.
Who do you locker next to in the locker room? Now that the team is here and the locker room is set, who do you locker
next to? I'm next to Greg Scruggs and Logan Paulson.
Okay, so you tight ends stick together.
Yep.
And it's probably beneficial to both of those guys because when you do have the downtime and you're talking football, they get a chance to talk to somebody who has the experience.
Yeah.
Because I knew that the locker room was differently split up in the past, but now it's probably better that you are next to a guy that you can teach the system to quickly, and Paulson and Greg Scruggs, who you can talk to the little things about the position itself.
Yep, and that's really how the whole locker room is broke down now. So your position groups are together, and that's kind of, I'd say that's probably more a smart way to do it, just for the reason you said, is right, to be able to communicate with each other.
And then, too, is the leaders at each position are with the other guys, yeah, who are playing that position. So
certainly,
you do get the chance to, you know, spill information to each other that, it, you know, it's constantly helping the team get better when the leaders are talking to the guys that need some direction and advice.
Yep, certainly is. I mean, you're talking about communication.
walking out to the football field. We're all getting ready at the same exact time, and you're still communicating things going out to practice.
People might have heard the name Logan Paulson for the first time. I'm wondering, who is this guy? He's one of the new players that was brought in earlier in the week from Washington.
Yes.
What's the scouting report on him as a person behind closed doors, and then what you've seen out on the
great,
field?
Great human. Just a really good individual. I can already tell. I mean, 2 days we've been together. We're going to be great friends. On the football field.
Because he's another one of these guys with the fancy hair.
He's got
in
a
that room.
Sweet hair. You could put it in a nice man bun. He's a guy who used to have a really full beard, too, but he shaved that off. So on the football field, though, you're talking about a guy who's very physical, clean technique throughout. You're talking about footwork, hand placement, things like that. He's a real technician and just a hard-working guy who's going to bring his lunch pail and be aggressive.
What number will we see him sporting?
He will be 82. He's back in his. He was 82 in Washington, and he's back in that. So he'll be comfortable there.
When you became a tight end with the Bears, did they give you the number they wanted to give you,
no.
or did you have any choice?
I was number 49 when I got drafted to Jacksonville. It was so bad.
Well, no, you know, one of the Todd Christensen used to wear 46 for the Oakland Raiders, yeah. L.A. Raiders, and I think there was times where he might have caught over 100 passes in a season.
46 isn't bad. 44 is not bad. Even 42, but 49 was like,
didn't do well for me. Don't tell Sam that, because Sam is
Sam Macho is
doing a nice job rushing the passer.
Defense is different. That's fine. They switched mine to 86 as soon as my first training camp was over. Coach Tice called me. He's like, hey, I'm getting you out of that 49 number. I'm putting you in 86.
who was the guy when you were learning how to play the tight end position? Who was the guy that you kind of looked at and said, I want to pattern my game after this guy?
Well, specifically just being in Jacksonville, Mercedes Lewis was a big help to me. And Mercedes was dominant at that time, 2009, 2010, when he went to the Pro Bowl. But other than that, that was when Dallas Clark was at the top of his game. So I was watching Dallas a lot. Antonio Gates, just, you know, those two guys jump off at me right now.
The guy at Dallas is a quality tight end.
Jason Witten. He's always a technician. If you want to see how the position is played from a run game, pass protection, he's a guy that you watch.
And the reason that he's mentioning guys that are his peers in the NFL is because he really didn't make the switch to tight end until after college.
Yeah.
We'll discuss. This is a great story. We'll discuss next. And Mike Tice, heavily involved. We'll discuss next.
Good imitation of him,
yeah,
too.
No, and we'll hear more of it because I believe, well, we'll tell you on the other side. Bears All Access rolls on with Zach Miller on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Kick off Bears season Chicago style at the first ever Miller Lite Chicago Bears Block Party on Saturday, September 10th at Chicago's Weed Street District. Visit chicagobears.com for details. I believe Urlacher and Briggs are both going to be there.
It's going to be a good time. It's a great place. Been there quite a few times to listen to different bands play, and having those two guys together with a bunch of Bears fans is going to be fun.
It'll be the first time in public the two of them have been together and both of them have hair. I mean, this is a brand new experience.
Did Lance grow his out?
Well, he has the opportunity to, you know, and we didn't know this when Brian Urlacher stopped playing football a few years ago. Zach Zaidman alongside Tom Thayer.
I could have been there. I could have had that.
Have you thought about it? Even once, just a little bit in the back of your head.
You know, I think at 55, it probably wouldn't be the direction to go. But if they wanted to plug my head full of nice blonde locks, I could, you know, get a couple more years of surfing out of it.
Yeah, see, Zach Miller doesn't have to worry about that. Him, Logan Paulson, Jay Cutler. There's a lot. Yeah,
Sitting.
There's a lot of interesting hair inside the Bears locker room. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber here at the PNC Studio at Halas Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So, as we were going to the break in our last segment, we were talking about Mike Tice, and he had a big impact in your career, in your position switch. He took a liking to you very early on.
Yes. You know, that's a guy who is very important to my football career and to my life off the field. He's been a guy that's he was there for me, you know, from the get-go, and he still is. You know,
yeah,
I still communicate with him.
Way before the NFL.
No. This would be, well, I mean, prior to the draft. So
right.
all the pre-draft stuff was when that kind of started.
He worked you out, right?
He did, yeah.
And at the time, what position were you playing?
I was playing quarterback. And then I had that I had a freak thumb injury that I where my pro day showed up, I couldn't throw, so I had to do something else. And
no, but this is
I know I just
it's an awful experience.
It's an amazing story, though.
But it turned into an amazing story. And Tice is the perfect guy because, you know, you look at Mike Tice, you think offensive line, tight end, but no, this guy was a quarterback
he
in
did
college
the same
at Maryland.
Exact thing. So we had a bond early on, you know, just because it was like I was living the path that he had already went through. And we clicked from the get-go, and he's an awesome individual, and I enjoy talking to him when I do, and thankful for him starting my football career.
But just scouts are coming to watch you throw a football. You hurt your thumb, so now you can't throw the football, and then decide to put you in a three-point stance and say, this guy has got potential. And when they look at potential, it's not only your athleticism, the ability to gain weight, to gain strength, to get bigger, and all those things that need to contribute to be you being a tight end.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the most amazing stories in the NFL of transferring from one position to the next.
I mean, thank you. But there's a lot that had to go into it. Like
right.
You said, I mean, it's not just changing positions. You got to see if a guy can hold that weight, if he's going to be able to be effective at that position in other aspects, because athletically I could run around. I mean, they knew that I could run around just seeing me play quarterback, but can you do the other things that are required from that position? It took a while to transition. You know, it wasn't happening overnight, but I was able to get to that point. Funny thing about the pro day is Coach Tice worked me out. He was a quarterback. He threw every single football that I when I ran routes there. I think we were 100% the whole time.
Wow. That's – does he throw a good spiral?
He does. He was on point that day.
We're visiting with Zach Miller here on Bears All Access. I think the thing that I come away with just listening to your story is perseverance. Where did you come up and who helped you maintain the positive attitude through all those dark times when you had no idea if you'd be able to do the things that you're doing now?
I think that's probably just the way I was raised. You know, small town, rural, little town in middle of Nebraska where my dad, you know, I never saw him miss a day of work, never complained, always had time to continue to be with me outside, play football, come to all my stuff. I mean, he was a good father figure and just showed me how to work. And he pushed me to the point where he made me feel like I could do whatever I wanted as far as, I'm not saying do whatever I wanted, but be whatever I wanted to be.
Right.
And he just pushed me and gave me that confidence and really just showed me how to work to get there.
But it's I think for everybody who makes it the NFL, it's something that's inside of them, because there's a lot of mornings you wake up and you could be lonely or you could be hurting, but it's a way of you talking yourself into going to the practice field and giving the effort that's expected of you.
Yeah.
So that's one of the unique thing about these guys. It's that internal perseverance that allows a lot of these guys to overcome some of the obstacles.
Certainly is. It's that you got, there's like an inner voice, a challenge to yourself. You got guys who they really like being challenged, whether it's outside or from within yourself. I mean, a lot of guys that are in this position, I think, in the NFL are probably apply more pressure to themselves than anybody
right.
else can apply. So it's just something that you kind of have inside you.
Was there ever a moment where you might have thought, you know what, I have to stop doing this?
No. Mm-mm. It never even crept in my mind not one bit. And even like, you know, you go back to, you know, a couple of years where it was, I'm back at it. As soon as I could get back at it, I was back at it. There was no saying, there was no denying me. There was no plan B. I didn't have a plan B. Plan B was plan A. And I was going to ride it out as long as I possibly could.
That's the thing about it. You come across people in your life and they go, hey, what's your other option? I have no other option.
I don't have one.
And you never let that creep into your mind, because in the toughest of times, you never want to think, okay, I can do this or mm-mm.
Yeah.
And I don't think you've reached the goal of where you want to be. Let's take a time out. We'll find out when we come back what the goal is going forward, because I believe that you think you've just scratched the surface of what you can be. We'll discuss next with Zach Miller here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The best way to get ready for Sunday's Bears-Texans game is to tune into Bears Game Day Live Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. on Fox 32 in Chicago, and Sunday night, watch Bears Game Night Live at 10:30 p.m. That's when Tom and Jeff get on the TV with Lou. It's exciting stuff on the TV. All right, Zach Zaidman here. Tom Thayer's along. Bears tight end Zach Miller, our guest here on Bears All Access from the PNC studio at Hallis Hall, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So the goal wasn't to just get to a point where you have the opportunity to play. The goal is to get the chance to take advantage of the playing time, and I think that's where you're at in your career right now.
Yeah, I mean, it started last year, San Diego game, to be able to get that opportunity to take advantage of it, to prove that I was what I thought I was, which what I knew I was. I just had to show others. You know, like you said in the last segment, I feel like the surface is just getting scratched. I feel like I don't want to say I know the plan. I know I've put a plan in place, and I feel I'm comfortable with it to be able to continue to do this, you know, for an extended period of time. So I'm just thankful for the opportunity and ready to go.
Was the offseason confusing for you? Because, you know, you had a super successful season, and now maybe people are trying to fill your head with ideas that you don't need to hear. You're a mature guy that you can make the decisions for yourself. Yep. But I got to imagine the offseason had to be a little bit not confusing, but just different.
It was different. You know, I wanted to stick to my routine. I wanted to stick to my training schedule. I wanted to stick to who I did that with. I stayed in Omaha and trained there with the guys that I've been training with for the last 2.5 years. So I stuck to my roots of what I've done that I feel like has gotten me to where I'm at now. It was a little different. I had to figure out how to come off of a full season, whether like to rest, recover, you know, for how long, when to do that. So that was kind of a different thing for me, but I feel like it transitioned well.
Is free agency fun or stressful?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, it's kind of exhilarating, but it can get to a point where you want it to be over with, and you want to put it aside and get ready to focus on playing football. So it's kind of both. It just kind of depends.
But this is a neat organization to be from, where if you are thinking about going in you know, exploring your opportunities. When you think about the oldest franchise in the NFL, you think about this facility, you think about what they've been able to build here to make sure the players are comfortable. It's got to really help your decision.
It all factors into it. This is the best organization that I've been a part of and that I feel in the NFL as far as organization-wise. You know, the history of the game, the facilities that you're in, and then the city that you get to play for.
Right.
And be a part of not only football, but I'm talking just a sports city in general. It's one of the best, at, you know, in the entire country.
Yeah, I saw you, was it last weekend, where you had some time off and you posted the picture from Wrigley Field? Was that your first visit there?
No, I threw out the first pitch in April over there.
That's right.
How'd you do?
He threw a strike.
Did
strike?
You?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't messing around.
It was all right. If I ever get an opportunity to go back and do that again, I'm going to put a little more heat on it.
You know, Tom experienced this, but you see, I mean, you're not blind, you're not deaf. You see what the Cubs are experiencing right now. Can you allow yourself to visualize what that would be like if you were able to accomplish something like that with this team, with the Bears, this town?
That's something that would be an unbelievable feeling. Just knowing, you know, the previous history of winning teams, and the way that city embraces it, it would be something special. And hopefully, you know, we're being able to feel like that at the end of this year.
But you get to kind of see it at every city the Bears travel to. Whether you go from San Diego to St. Louis, and you look at some of these cities, there's more Bears fans in the stadium than their own town. And I think it'll be an interesting weekend because everybody knows the Cubs play Houston on Saturday and the Bears, Houston Texans on Sunday. So I expect a really supportive crowd to be down there in Houston pulling for the Bears.
As do I. They always travel well. You know, most of those games, we can hear them loud and clear, and they kind of take over every stadium we go to.
It's go time. Zach, thank you so much. We'll join you Sunday out in Houston as the Bears begin the regular season against the Texans. Want to remind you that if you miss most of this show, the podcast is available on iTunes or on ChicagoBears.com. For Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.